Live from the HananiaAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express. Jaguars Thursday. We're looking ahead to the next Jaguars game with Brian Sexton and former Jaguars Jeff Loggeman, Tony Baselli, and Mark Brunel. Sponsored by Everbank. Jaguars Thursday begins right now.
Welcome to what is essentially the Mark Brunel Show tonight. I mean, we're talking quarterback.
Let's do that.
All night long.
Let's go. See you guys. Would love to.
This is really Jaguars this Thursday. Tony Baselli's here, but he put the headset down and attacked the pizza.
Imagine that.
Jeff Loggeman is here. Just got done with the Gus Bradley Show. We talked a bit about Peyton Manning there. But, you know, from early on this afternoon, we were talking about this. I mean, this is all about how well Peyton Manning is playing. And you all have been around the league for more than 20 years. And so here's the question. Have you ever seen a quarterback that has this thing humming like he does? I mean, through 5 weeks of the season, he has more touchdowns. He has a greater completion percentage. He has a quarterback rating higher than ever has been. He's got the second most yards by about 50 yards fewer than Kurt Warner.
Well, numbers speak for themselves. Yeah.
He's pretty good.
Yeah. not bad.
The only thing we'll compare would be what Tom Brady was doing in 07.
Yeah. When they were in the middle of a 25-game winning streak. Yeah.
You know, the scary thing is today I went back and watched the 7-touchdown game that he had against the Ravens, which was in week one.
Yeah, that Thursday night.
I think he's playing better now than he did in that game, which is crazy to think because he had 7 touchdown passes in that game.
Well, what have they done? So 52 and 51 points the last 2 weeks, something like that?
Yeah,
103 points?
51, I guess, or 50 over the last two, something.
103 points the last 2 weeks.
Crazy.
Think he'll go to the Pro Bowl?
The question is, you think they'll waive the rules and just the day he retires put him in the Hall of Fame?
He could go right now.
Well, now listen. I mean, listen. There's been a lot of great quarterbacks. I mean, there's.
I know.
We're not saying there's not.
No,
we're
just saying. But right now, the last 5 games.
We're just mimicking the national.
I understand.
Tony's got to slow now. Any kind of praise you give, Wait a minute here.
No, he's a great. Listen, he's an amazing player. He is the smartest quarterback to ever play the game. I don't know if he's the best quarterback ever to play the game. I mean, we forget about Joe Montana and what he did in an era.
Terry Bradshaw won 4 Super Bowls, calling his own plays
in the regular season. He's phenomenal.
You forget what Tom Brady has done at the height of his career. I mean, listen, he's right in the conversation, but in what he's doing right now, I mean, I just watched the tape, and it is so fun to watch. And the reason I call him the smartest quarterback ever is he is like an offensive coordinator at the line of scrimmage because 9 times out of 10, maybe sometimes 10 times out of 10, he gets his team in the right play. And so I'm not sure how good they are up front as offensive line. They're good.
They're playing without their starting center, without their starting left tackle. Is,
good enough.
But it's – really, it's a lot easier to play the game and play the position when you're in the right play every time and you have the angles and the defense is set up for you to succeed. I mean, he is an amazing. He makes everyone around him so much better because he allows people to be put in positions where it's easier to win.
Yeah. Well, you know, let me put it to you. I did earlier, Logs, and it was this, that when you look at what their numbers are, just the offensive line, before he arrived, it was pretty good, right? I mean, they didn't drop back and throw it with Tebow all that much. But now all of a sudden they gave up 21 sacks last year, 5, the fewest in the NFL this year. Well, that's Manning. I mean, he gets rid of the ball so quickly.
No right. question.
He did it when he was in Indianapolis.
Yep.
At one time they only allowed 14 sacks in the whole season. Same thing. Demaryius Thomas is a big, talented guy. Eric Decker was a very good receiver. But all of a sudden they're both Pro Bowl caliber, 1,000-yard seasons, more than 10 touchdowns. Well, that's Peyton.
Let me tell you the guy who scares me more than any of
Julius
those guys.
Thomas.
Julius Thomas.
2 games this year with at least 100 yards and 2 touchdowns.
I watching the Dallas game. He's the most dangerous guy in the field.
Yeah, he's good.
I mean, because
they you know what though, you put him with somebody else, and it's
not
the same.
No question.
That's where I was going.
Yeah,
and that's where I was going.
Listen, Peyton makes everyone around him better.
Absolutely,
by far.
All the great ones do.
Yep,
all the great ones go down the list. They make everyone better around him.
Let me ask you guys this. Let me ask you a question. The quarterbacks in the league right now, are we seeing the best quarterback play? As far as like the top 5 guys, Brady, Breeze, Rodgers, Peyton, better than we've ever seen in the history of the game.
The rules are set up today so advantageous to the offense and to the quarterback position where you can't hit them, they're protected. You are allowed to make throws that even 10 years ago you would have never made because the receiver would have been dead. And the wind, so making the fields more open because of it.
Right.
Let me ask it this way then. Is this crop of quarterbacks that are currently at the top of their game right now, Are they better than the Joe Montana, Steve Young, Troy Aikman, Dan Marino era?
Different rule book. You know, it's hard to compare. But you know, what makes Peyton great is that, you know, an Aaron Rodgers will have, and he's had a rating that's been astronomical. You know, much like Peyton. They're not in that kind of first five
right
games.
Now. 136
something, you know, which is just ridiculous. But, you know, Peyton does all this within 1,001, 1,002, 1,003. Because that's kind of how – I mean, I hate to say it. I still can't break habits, because when I watch film, a lot of times, you know, that defensive lineman's perspective, you're trying to figure out how can I impact the play. So you in that count, typically a sack, if you can get a sack, if you get there in 3 seconds or soon after – it's success, but most of the time with Peyton, the ball's gone within three, which means you don't have a chance in hell of getting there as a defensive lineman.
So, if I'm reading you right,
so my point
it's worthless to try to really try to go after him.
But the point is that, you know, Aaron Rodgers does it because he buys time. Roethlisberger extends the play.
Watch the game, Tony Romo. I mean,
Tony Romo extended the play forever against the Denver Broncos. But Peyton is doing all this. All the decision-making, all the throws within 3 seconds. That's crazy.
The way you got to rush Peyton Manning's up the middle, you got to put – what Peyton wants to do is he's a tackle's dream, because he is going to hit that third, fifth step, and he's going to move up the pocket. He makes the job of the tackles very easy. You have to have a good center, good guards, guys who are strong and are not going to get pushed back. And so you have to be able to push the pocket up the middle and force him not allow – him to step up and make him uncomfortable.
And he can still adjust. In fact, I'm going to show a play on the Gus Bradley show, and also going to show it in the pregame show. Against the Cowboys bring like six guys, and it's a blitz, right? So you got a defensive end that's going to have coverage on a running back.
Oh, that's a great play.
So Peyton knows, here comes the blitz, and he knows he's got a great matchup with Hillman, the running back, coming out of the backfield, is going to be covered by a stiff guy. So he drops back, and he doesn't plant his back foot. He just drifts because he knows the blitz is coming. He's not even going to try to set his feet. He just said, I'm going to buy some extra time because I know the guy who I want, and he needs a little time to get out. He just backs up, and as soon as Hillman slips out, up over
very
the top,
accurate.
Big play.
I'll say this. The only negative I see about Peyton, I still don't think his arm strength is what it once was. And he is so accurate, I would say 40 yards and in. But he's not going to scare you, you know, with the big arm and making the amazing throws where you have to have the velocity to do it. But he's so smart, and he knows where he wants to go because what the defense is going to give you, and he's so accurate. 99% of the time, it doesn't matter because he's taking the throw the defense gives him.
Here's the thing. What are you going to take away? I mean, if you try to take away the two outside guys, Thomas and Decker, you mentioned Julius Thomas. We haven't even mentioned Wes Welker.
If I was – I mean, listen, I'm no defensive coordinator, but – to what Jeff said, and I agree with him, it's all timing. He is so smart. He knows where to go with the ball. I'd get up and play press and just say, listen, if we're going to get – we got to knock him off the routes. We got to knock the timing out, because you have to at least try to force him to hold a little bit ball longer than he wants to, because if you play any type of zone, he's going to tear you apart. If you're soft man, he's going to do little things underneath, and he's going to find areas to beat you. I mean, that's the only thing
you
I think of.
But then, but the only way to play him is zone. It's the only way to play him.
He's going to kill you that way. He's just going to
– he kills people when – his rating goes almost to near perfect when people try to blitz him.
Yep.
Well, I'm not saying blitz him. I'm saying play seven in the back half, but whether it's two-man or something, but you have to get up on the line of scrimmage. If you think back when the Patriots had all the kind of stuff with Belichick, you go back and what they did, and Peyton always complained, and Dungy and the Colts complained because they said the corners were too physical with their guys and it was illegal stuff what they were doing. The officials called it a certain way for whatever reason, but they mauled Reggie Wayne and Marvin Harrison and Dallas Clark at the line of scrimmage. You have to do something to knock them off.
Disrupt them.
You have to disrupt the timing of the routes. Otherwise, he is going to kill you.
Yep.
I mean, I don't know how she's – I mean, he is going to annihilate you. Now, the problem is they're really good in all those places. So
really good,
it's not easy to do. That's why they're scoring 50 points a game. I mean – they're pretty good.
46. Yeah, they're 230 points. I could go on with these numbers all day, but 230 points through five games is the most in NFL history.
It's unbelievable.
Who will challenge them
in their
schedule coming up?
Oh, I think Kansas City will.
The greatest challenge to Peyton Manning is the playoff pressure. It's what it is.
Yeah, they had the home field advantage last year, won their last 11 games, and then got beat at the very end of the ballgame when Joe Flacco made that throw.
The only criticism that I would have of Peyton Manning, and it's only one that I have, is when it gets to be crunch time, sometimes he doesn't look the same. That's the, I mean, whereas Tom Brady seems to flourish in that. You know, I think that's a little bit of a difference between those two guys. You know, when you see Peyton get into that red zone, the feet move a little bit faster. When you see him in the playoffs, the accuracy is not near what it was during the regular season.
Pass, so, right.
You know, and
you know the best proof of that is the Super Bowl wins.
Yeah,
only one.
I mean, and if you look, you know, Brian, you're talking about all these great numbers, you know, and then in the Denver Broncos release, Tony, and I think you got it right there. You know, they're sitting there talking about Peyton Manning in NFL history. And you see his ranks. I mean, heck, you know, he's up there with Brett Favre, Dan Marino.
Most touchdowns, right.
And then they've got a little box there that talks about playoff rankings in history, NFL history. And then you start to see 11s and 12s and, you know, I mean.
No, you're right.
I mean, heck, I mean, the guy is phenomenal. I mean, I'm not trying to say he's a – I'm not Vic Ketchman here trying to say, he's garbage in the playoffs. I'm not saying that. But he's but not as good.
It's a fair criticism. But he is – he is really, I mean, he just. But you have to disrupt the timing. You got to force him off what he wants to do because otherwise, it's very difficult.
You know, in recent history, when the Jaguars had some success, I mean, they're 5-14 against them, so the success was limited. But when they did have some success here, they had a couple of things that worked. I mean, obviously, they had Stroud and Henderson, those big guys in the middle that did what you said. They pushed the pocket. The other thing they had was the ability to control the tempo with the running game. When Fred and Maurice were working in tandem and they were grinding out 145, 150 yards a game.
Well, it also wasn't so much Marcus and John's ability to push the pocket as it was to allow the defense to play coverage off.
Yeah, because you can stop the run with six in the box.
You can stop the run with six in the box. You think Roy Miller and Sendarek Marks are going to be able to stop the run consistently with six in the box?
Because when the Dallas dropped and put six in the box, no Sean Marino, who's no great running back, but he gashed him.
Yeah.
And Peyton gets up there. He looks at the covers, looks at the front, and says, okay, you want to play that. I'm going to run the ball, little zone, weak side zone, and just hit the gap, or I'm going to pull the backside guard and run a little counter play.
And see, Marcus and John were three gap tackles.
Yeah, they could.
No biggie. No problem. We can play with six. Yeah, you know, now that you don't have those guys.
No, you don't. But going back to Mark's question of who's going to challenge him, I think in the regular season, I think the Kansas City Chiefs are the best AFC team they're going to play.
Yeah, but they can't score the points.
No, I'm saying defensively. Yeah. They will stress that.
Do they play this year?
Who can't? They're in the division.
They do. Yeah, that's right. Well, what am I thinking?
Oh, my God.
I'm trying to think if they haven't played him yet, though,
no,
right?
No, they play him twice. They play him a little bit later.
What about Indianapolis in Indy?
I just don't know how that defense is going to hold up.
Right. But I don't know that any defense holds up against these guys, and at least with Andrew Luck in that offense, they can score.
And if you look at the Denver defense, they're very good against the run, but I think that is a misleading number because no one runs the ball against them because – everyone gets in these shootouts, and they're giving up. Listen, Denver gives up a lot of points. They give up 27
48
a game.
Last week,
27 a game. They give up.
Del Rue can't coach.
300. They give up 340 through the
Someone
air.
In
they're
Denver's
not great.
Listening right now.
Their linebackers are not great in pass coverage.
Doesn't have anything to do with his personnel.
Their linebackers are not great in pass coverage.
Just ask him.
They have no pass rush. Jeff continues to go down the Del Rio train, but it'll be interesting.
355-NFL1, 800-355-6351. Let's pull this train into the station here for the moment, and we'll come back with more with Jeff, Tony, and Mark here on Jaguars Thursday. You're listening to Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
Well, this portion of Jaguars Thursday is brought to you by Fanatics.com. Jeff Loggeman, Tony Buscelli, Mark Brunello here to talk to you. 355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. You know, it was interesting. When Josh Evans got into the ballgame, right, started playing, you could see his speed. You knew he was the future.
Yeah.
I wondered how long Dwight Lowry would last. And obviously we got the news yesterday that he's on injured reserve. When he's healthy, they'll release him. So I have the same feeling about the quarterback position after last week. And that is, you know, a critical moment in the ball game. Luke Jokel's done. Team needs him. Blaine Gabbert sails the ball 20 yards over his head. Throws the interception in the end zone early in the third quarter. Obviously, you know, he left the game hurt. But I wondered, as we were on the plane, I had that visual of him in my mind standing there on the sidelines, and I wondered if maybe that wasn't it for him. Do you think that's a possibility, or am I way out on left field on that one?
Well, I'll tell you from my perspective, and that I've always been a guy that's believed in him. I mean,
you've been an apologist.
You know, I've said, hey, look, he's got the tools.
Absolutely.
Give him some time. You know, and there were some
How
things.
How did you not? He's only started 27 games.
In that St. Louis game, I did not like. I did not like some of his body language, and most importantly, I didn't like some of the body language that was from his teammates towards him. And that usually is a sign that tells you, I don't think this is working. You know, because when the guys around you, and you're the quarterback, aren't giving you what you need, that means you can't give them what they need. And so it's changed a lot for me. And I can't say for certain, but you just have a little different sense of the commentary coming from Gus. It was a little different than obviously after
it's
the Kansas
Monday
City
news
game.
You bet.
You know, so I think that Blaine has an opportunity still, but he's really got to show something big time now. And if he doesn't show anything, that's it.
Well, if Henny even plays well, does Blaine get that opportunity again?
No.
No way.
And what would well be? It would well be an 80 quarterback rating, you know, 58 to 60% of the passes, you know, two touchdowns, one interception. Yeah, would that be well?
Yeah, that would be well. The numbers would certainly help, but it's winning football games. And I think Jeff nailed it. It's how your team responds to you. Are they protecting for you? Are they making plays? Is there some life out there? And Jeff said, you know, he mentioned the body language. I mean, if you've been around the game, you can notice it. You can see when players are responding to the quarterback that's in there. It's a whole different level of play and just a entirely different attitude, feeling you get that, okay, you know, this quarterback, he's got command. He's got the respect of the guys. They are going to go play for him.
Well, let's be clear then, because people who are listening right now, they're thinking that they've lost or he's lost his team.
I don't know if he's lost the team, but I agree with both of them. At the end of the day, listen, it's clear. They're drafting the quarterback next year.
Well, if you knew how many calls we've got about what time is that Bridgewater kid playing tonight.
Well, I don't know if it's Bridgewater. I don't know who it is. I mean, but whoever
but
it is.
He's a big name.
I mean, listen, for multiple of reasons, a multitude of reasons. One, I mean, he's not healthy, so he's not been out there. The opportunities have been there. I mean, he's made mistakes, and it hasn't gone well. I agree with Jeff. I think you get the sense when Chad came in the game, there was a little bit of an uplift. I mean, that's not good. I mean, if you're a team and your starting quarterback goes down and the backup comes in, and maybe we're way off. We are way up. I'm just saying, but I said it to you guys in the broadcast booth. When he came, it just felt different. And I think we all agree with that. And when that's that's not a good sign.
Let's go back to last year. Do you remember Houston? Blaine gets hurt.
Mm-hmm.
In comes Chad. 16 to 32, but he threw for 354 and the four touchdowns. And then the next week, that carried over to a strong performance and a win over Tennessee. There was kind of some momentum there.
Well, I don't know how much momentum it was. But, you know, during the offseason, I talked to a few of the guys that are, I guess you could say, options for Blaine and for Chad. And, you know, and they all kind of would tell you, hey, look, you know, we see what Blaine has. You know, the arm, he can make all the throws. And
it's amazing.
They all knew it, you know, so they all felt that, hey, look, he's got the chance to really be something special, but he's got to do it, right? So I think all of them were willing to be patient. But I felt a change in that body language at that goal line. And in watching the game tape, go back and look at it. And don't watch the plays, watch the players. It's a little different.
355-NFL1, 800-355-6351. Let's grab some phone calls. Let's start with Jim, who's on the west side of Jacksonville. Jim, welcome to the show.
Hi, guys. Thank you. I heard you were just now talking about Blaine Gabbert. I wanted to ask a Peyton Manning question since you spent so much time on him in the last segment.
Go ahead.
What I was wondering was he's in the second season with the Broncos, just doing great, doing as well as he ever has. And he had that one season 2-3 years ago when he was down. He had surgery, so he missed an entire season. The Colts did
2011.
Yeah, they did nothing that season. I just don't understand why, given that he's still so good and dominant, why the Colts let him go.
They didn't know.
Yeah, it was.
I mean, how do you know?
It was a big unknown. It was a risk. I mean, I don't think anyone knew whether he'd come back to this level or not.
It was his fourth neck surgery.
He had four neck surgeries. He did not have the arm strength. The Broncos rolled the dice.
Right.
betting that he would. The Colts were in a position they could not roll the dice, seeing that they had Andrew Luck sitting there at number one.
And they had cap issues as well. They had major cap issues.
Major cap issues, the amount of money. And so there's a lot of other things going there. And if you're sitting as the Colts front office, you're looking, okay, do we roll the dice that Peyton can come back? And even if he comes back, he'll give us 3 more years. And he'll be – what he's done for this franchise is unbelievable. But there's a good chance that he might not be able to play again. Do we stick with him and pass on what at the time – and he's played out – here's a
– the future.
Once-in-a-generation type of guy coming out of college. Do we pass on that guy that could be around for another 15 years? And I think they made the right choice. Yeah.
Easy. Good choice by everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. Worked out for everybody.
Good choice.
Rarely
by
does that happen.
He's making $40 million over 2 years.
Well, and you touched on the other side of it. The cap issues were the cap issues were huge. They wouldn't have been able to keep Reggie Wayne.
Wouldn't have been able to keep anybody. Peyton, Mathis, Freeney. They would have had to completely dismantle the roster around Peyton Manning.
Hope that answers your question. Appreciate the phone call.
And not knowing whether he's healthy or not.
Let's grab Craig on the south side up next. Hello, Craig.
Hey, guys. Thanks so much for taking my call. Love the show. I think Tony Baselli is probably one of the greatest broadcasters to come out of Jacksonville now in the last couple of years.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
What is this? What is love fest? Come on, man.
Thanks for calling, Craig.
We'll talk to you later.
Craig, ignore those idiots.
my question's for Mark. Mark, a couple of weeks ago, you made a comment that it was something to the effect that sometimes the young rookie quarterbacks, you can throw them into a system a little too fast, too soon. Please, I'm paraphrasing here, but I think that's kind of what you said. Do you think that's what happened with Blaine? And if so, can that be undone? Can that be overcome? And I'll take the answer on the other.
Actually, Craig, that's a real good question because you certainly can put a young quarterback in too early. And I will say that I thought they put in Blaine too early. And I happened to be at that game with the Jets when he got his first time on the field, and it was ugly. And the plan was, or you thought the plan was, to give him some time, let him develop, but that wasn't the case. You know, Del Rio put him in, and it wasn't a pretty year. And I think for him, it was too soon. Some guys need time to develop. Now, going back to Andrew Luck, did he need time to develop? Absolutely not. Tony said it perfectly. He's a once-in-a-generation quarterback. But most guys coming out of college, you know, you got to give them some time. And can that be undone? You know, I don't think so.
It's not impossible.
It's not impossible. I mean, there's
– Can it be undone in Jacksonville? In other words, can he go somewhere else potentially and reclaim his career?
If he comes back and, you know, let's say Chad plays great, okay, plays 2 weeks, he gets hurt, Blaine comes in, and all of a sudden Blaine just lights it up, does it change the perspective?
Sure.
Sure it does. You know, but it's got to happen – performance-based.
And I do think it can change whether it's here or not. I mean, look at Alex Smith. Alex Smith was an utter disaster, number one pick overall, multiple coordinators, bad coaching situations, and was, I mean, a bust. I mean, everyone in this league would say he was a bust. Well, he gets Harbaugh comes in. He takes the team to the NFC title game. Should have gone to the Super Bowl if the punt returner can catch a ball. He doesn't. He loses his job last year, but now he's in quarterback in an undefeated Kansas City team. Is he a top 10 franchise quarterback?
No, but he's serviceable.
But he's good enough to win. He took a team to the NFC title game and should have took that team to the Super Bowl, literally, if they can catch a punt.
You know, and there's a lot of examples of quarterbacks that went on to greatness that struggled early. Brett Favre, he's second-round pick for the Atlanta Falcons. They dished him after 1 year. Drew Brees struggled in his first few years in San Diego. He's one of the best in the business.
Jim Plunkett.
That's before
New England,
our time,
Oakland, yeah.
Yeah. There, yeah. Yeah. New England, first pick overall was gone.
Gone.
Won 2 Super Bowls.
All right. Well, you can go long in the fuel-efficient Ford Fusion. See your Southern Ford dealer today. They're a proud partner of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Ford, go further. We'll go further towards 8 o'clock. First, though, news from our friends at News Talk WOKV, now on 104.5 FM and on AM 690. Well, fans, nobody helps you get ready for game day better than our friends at Gate. Snacks, food, drinks, and more. Stop by Gate today. If you're interested, Louisville is on right now. If you want to see what the Teddy Bridgewater hype is all about, they are on ESPN when you get home. And then, of course, you got the Bears and the Giants tonight.
You talk about some other good young quarterbacks. Go look at those two guys on the West Coast. They might be the fastest rising guys in college.
Marcus Mariota.
Mariota and Hunley, the kid from
Brett Hunley, UCLA.
Two redshirt sophomores, so they can leave this year if they want to. You talk to people around the league. Those two are
There's a lot of quarterbacks. Special. A lot of quarterbacks. How about the kid at Georgia? I mean, I don't know whether he translates or not. Have you seen him, Loggie?
I've seen him play
a little bit.
He's not very big.
Eh, no, okay.
Understood. Russell Wilson's not very big either.
I mean, good college player.
Yeah.
So is Tim. You know. So.
Oh God, are you going
why
there?
Why do you do that, Tim? Why do you do that?
I was talking about Tim Couch.
Throw it out there.
Oh, you're going to a little Kentucky football.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know you.
Remember how he was? I mean, he was a really good college player.
I didn't know you were that well.
Number one overall pick in 1999.
You guys are terrible.
Yeah, let's leave this one alone. Bill's on the south side with a thought on Blaine Gabbert. Hello, Bill.
Hey, how are you doing?
We're all right. How are you?
Pretty good. Listen, I think Blaine Gabbert, had he gone to any other team, would have been just fine. I think that I remember how happy he was when he was chosen, and the little did he know that he was running headlong and they're going to be a part of the Jacksonville jinx before he knew it, you know. But, you know, I think Del Rio.
Wait a second. What jinx? That's the dumbest thing. We're done. I'm not going to listen to jinx and curses and all this stupid. That's dumb. There's no jinx. You know what?
Give it to him, Bill.
Give
it back to him, Bill.
Come on, Bill. You're better than that, Bill.
Hey, Baselli.
What?
Listen, I don't know what that guy was smoking before.
I don't know,
you got to be the biggest sore thumb know-it-all since Vic Catchman, for crying out loud. Matter of fact, you ought to do some
Bill's,
job.
Bill's bringing it.
And maybe you'd know, learn something from him, you know?
Bill, you should take your jinx and call somebody else.
Okay, man.
That's good radio.
I love it.
Yeah, well, it brings back the old days with Bill from the South Side. We'll always take your call, Bill. You're welcome to call here anytime, whether you can stay on the line or not.
The same thing.
What do you mean you would have? You have.
Let's grab Charlie.
I thought Bill had talked to my wife saying I'm a know-it-all.
Charlie's down in Fleming Island. Hello, Charlie. Welcome to the show.
Greetings, gentlemen. How are you?
Good.
All right. Let's get rid of Blackman today while we might actually get something for him. He had a decent game.
So that's five games, so we're down to one a game.
And then the next team can get him when he does another DUI or whatever. Let me
tell it to you this way, first of all, he is a great player. And you get to be better when you have a lot of great players. Now, if somebody comes in and says, hey, look, we want to give you two first-round picks for Justin Blackman, you do it in a minute. But here's the deal.
No one's going to do that.
Nobody's going to do it because of, you know, this possible year-long suspension if he does have another mishap. So for what you could get for him, because, look, you know, everybody's tradable with the exception of a franchise quarterback, you know. But you wouldn't do it. No way.
Yeah.
Young, ascending.
There's nothing to say.
The value that you could get wouldn't meet it. So
we're not going to trade him.
Well, and here's the other thing. I think if you just look at what he's done the last 5 weeks, the 4 weeks off, I mean, it wasn't like he disappeared and became a problem. He was here. He was working. He looks great. He performed well.
Gus has
sung his praises.
I'll say it right now.
For the way he handled
himself. Justin Blackman, as long as he's a Jacksonville Jaguar, he will not have another issue off the field.
Wow.
I'm confident of that.
Well, he's grown up. I mean, just talking to him in the locker room,
I don't think he will.
I don't know how much.
What he has shown me over the last 5 weeks, his professionalism, this offseason, how he handled himself. He made a mistake. I'm not condoning it. It was dumb. It's inexcusable. He paid the price. Justin Blackman will keep his head on straight. I think football is very, very, very important to Justin. And I think he will make good choices, and I think he's going to be a very good player on this team for a long time.
Well said.
All right. Appreciate the call, Charlie. 355-NFL1. Eddie is in Arlington. Hello, Eddie. Welcome to the program. Are you there?
Eddie?
Eddie, 1, 2, 3.
It's Eddie-O calling from Arlington.
Eddie-O. I'm sorry. I thought John typed your name in wrong. Hello, Eddie-O.
What's up, fellas? Hey, win, lose, or draw, man. We are Jaguars.
All right, Eddie-O.
Just want to give a shout-out to the fan base, man. Come on, guys. Every team has had an ebb and flow. We're going through a slump. You know, it's like, come on, guys. You look on the OSHA blogs, all this nonsense, evil days and all that, all the negativity. Let's get behind our team, all right? We are blessed to have an NFL franchise here in Jacksonville. 32 cities out of the entire country, we have one. Let's get behind our team, all right?
You got it, Eddie-O.
I'm with you, Eddie-O.
I like it, Eddie-O.
I think he was talking on a bag phone. We appreciate it. Who is next? Let's grab...
Was Eddie-O underwater? Was he swimming, as he called us?
I think he was on one of those old bag phones that Motorola first made. You know, the kind that you bought for nothing. John's in Keystone. Hello, John.
Hey. You know, the thing is about Vic Cashman. Yeah, you know, the thing is, he go, caller, what the hell are you talking about? Or he go, hey, you know, that's a good idea, caller. But a lot of times he said, what the hell are you talking about, which you guys might say again tonight. But the thing is, Tony, how would you like to have been on this team and been Eugene Monroe? And maybe should we, the other guys that maybe aren't going to be in the future for this team, should we maybe try to get something for them? Because they're
like
saying
who?
No fire sale. But, you know, the thing is that doing an injustice to them too?
I'll say this. I'll just speak for myself. What I see Gus Bradley doing to Dave Caldwell, if I was a young player, how old is Eugene?
He was in his fifth season.
So he's 27 years old?
Yeah.
I'd be more than happy to be right here and be a part of this franchise because I believe, I really do. What Gus Bradley's doing, the type of coach he is, the plans that Dave Caldwell, what the vision of this franchise is, I'd be just fine being part of this building project and building this franchise. I would want to go nowhere else.
Appreciate the call, John. Jay is on the west side. You're up next, Jay. What's happening tonight?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? Hey, I think as a Jaguar fan, I like what Gus Bradley and them are doing with the team. I think they showed us in this last draft with Jokel, Cyprian, that they know what they're doing in the draft. And I think if they see a quarterback, you know, that's got the chance to step in and better than Gabbert can do, they'll go draft a quarterback. Other than that, I think I like what they're doing. As a fan, I'm going to stick around. We're a rebuilding team. I said it at the beginning of the year to a bunch of buddies. I think we're lucky to win 4 games because we're a team that's rebuilding. And I like what they're doing in the draft. And I think we sit back and watch what they do in the draft. They're going to start drafting us some good players.
I hope so. I mean, we got that's the lifeblood of any franchise. And you got to get a little lucky now. I mean, you got to be lucky. You can't have a Luke Jokel have a high – ankle fracture, you know, or another draft pick that's a high pick end up having an injury. You know, I mean, Tyson Alualu had an injury. I mean, I'm not trying to say
but I mean, you know what I mean?
You got to have some good luck, and you got to have some good luck and get a Wes Welker as an undrafted guy.
You have to find guys in the middle of the round. Obviously, injuries, you always have to be fortunate with injuries in this league. It's part of the game. You know, you look at Luke Jokel. The injury he had, as terrible as it is right now, and I know he's upset. Everyone wants him here. It is not an injury that should have any impact on his future as playing the offensive line. It's something that should heal. He should be better than ever next year. He's going to have a whole offseason to get stronger in his upper body. And he
surgery today, by the way.
Yeah, he has all the next, you know, the rest of this season. And I'm not a doctor, but my guess is come offseason, he'll be 100% ready to go and prepare for next year. So, but Jeff's right. You got to be fortunate when it comes to injuries.
355-NFL1. 800-355-6351. Let's break. We got a full boat of calls. We'll take those. Talk about games around the NFL this weekend when Jaguars Thursday continues here on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
All right, about 11 minutes left in the program. Phone lines have been stacked all night, so we'll go right to them. And we'll start at the top, and Gary is in Ponte Vedra, up first in the segment with Jeff, Tony, and Mark. Hello, Gary. Welcome to the program.
Hey, good evening. I'd like to hear you break down the defense a little bit, where we are now, maybe how much we'll see improvement this year, and then what lies ahead for the next couple of years.
Well, I like the secondary improvement that they made this year. I think it's a lot better, and I'm really liking the safeties, Evans and Cyprian. I liked what I saw out of Grott so far. I like the acquisition of Alan Ball. I think this guy, highly competitive, plays hard, plays hurt, which is what you got to have. My biggest concerns for this team, the front four. I don't think they're going to get a whole lot better this year. I think that that is, like some positions are, that you've got to use draft picks and high draft picks to get them. Andre Branch has done nothing for me, except for make me angry after that dance after the sack.
You would have danced after that, too. You were a big dancer.
Yeah. Yeah, I got the moves. I mean, the quarterback tripped over Jake Long's feet.
When you watch the tape, does he get any credit for pushing Jake Long back?
Then he tags
him. No, because
then he starts doing the windmill thing.
I tried to give him credit during the game because I said, oh, he pushed.
Yeah, I remember. That's why I brought it up.
But then I watched the tape. And Sam Bradford drifted.
Thank you.
Pocket and fell.
He fell. He did. Sam Bradford's feet were about 8 inches apart, and he steps right into Jake Long.
I mean Jake Long was sitting there just blocking him.
He had him. Yeah. I mean, he stuffed him.
Yeah.
And he trips over Jake Long's feet.
And then he tagged him.
Andre tags him.
And then danced.
And then danced.
Hey. I mean,
first sack
of the year. Yeah, I mean, be excited, you know, and then go off by yourself and do the old dance. Going, really?
Yeah, it was kind of creepy.
And did you see all the guys come around and celebrate with him?
No, I missed that part.
No, they didn't. They just walked right to the sideline.
How about the linebacking core? I mean, obviously, you've got one guy in Paul Posluszny. You've got a guy that I know you like a lot, Leroy Reynolds, that you think maybe has some upside.
Well, I think his perfect spot is where Posluszny's at. You know, which is, I mean, it's good. You got depth, you know, but you need to have a guy that can blitz, that can come off the edge, that's going to be an every downs backer. You know, Russell Allen, good fourth guy. I don't think, you know, you would like to have him starting at linebacker in the long term. I think Geno Hayes makes a lot of mistakes. Very athletic, but makes some mistakes at times. You know, you got to get better there too. I mean, that's the front four. You got to have an impact guy, a playmaker, a pass rusher. I don't care if it's a defensive tackle, a defensive end, or a linebacker that can put his hand down on third down. You got to have a difference maker, and you don't have one.
Appreciate the phone call, Gary. You can join us, 355-NFL1. Let's grab Christian, who's down in Fruit Cove next. Hello, Christian.
Hi, what's going on?
Doing a radio show.
Big fan of you.
Hanging out.
Yep, big fan of you guys. I'm 23. I've been in Jacksonville my whole life. And just wanted to ask, who's the leaders in the locker room right now? And I know back in the old days, it took a collective group of leaders to, you know, to get the team to where it needed to be. And right now, I don't even see, you know, one leader in the locker room.
Give me great players, and then I'll find leaders.
It's amazing the great
you
players.
You know what I mean?
Don't they usually you know who the leaders are in the NFL locker rooms? The guys who are really good.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And the more of them you'll get, the better leadership you're going to have.
Now, not all good players or great players are leaders, but typically the leaders in any locker room are the upper echelon players. That's who leads the team.
Simple and easy. Appreciate it, Christian. 355-NFL1. Henry is in Arlington up next. Hello, Henry. Welcome to the show.
Hey, seemed like especially in the first half, there was a lot more slipping down on the turf. Do you guys think there was a lot more than normal, or
about the St. Louis game?
I think they watered it before the game.
Do what?
I think they watered it before the game.
Oh, really?
You think they watered it? I mean, what are you talking about?
I mean, it's, you know,
he believes you. That's the problem. You can't say that.
I'm kidding.
You're an expert or so-called expert.
We need to take this to Jimmy Luck.
It's bad shoes. I blame the equipment manager, Jimmy. Jimmy Luck had the wrong cleats on.
Now, you know, hey, look, it's an indoor surface. It's a surface they're not familiar with. Sometimes it takes a little bit of time to find the right shoe. But, hey, look, I mean,
I didn't notice any extra slipping in the game. In all seriousness, all joking aside, so, Jimmy, don't worry.
I think
it's
that's
not
why
your
Bradford
fault.
Tripped over Jake. I maybe slipped.
He slipped and then got sacked. Yeah. No, I didn't. In all seriousness, I didn't notice any more than
usual. Andre Branch was wearing the right glove, though, right?
Yes, he got a good tag.
All right, go to the next
355.
Right. Thanks, man.
Appreciate it. Henry, Danny's up next in Fernandina. Hello, Danny.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Lots.
Hey, there's no doubt Jeff Lagerman is the best broadcaster. He had to spar with Vic Ketchman for all those years.
It's my brother Scott. Thanks, man.
Hey, all kidding aside.
Thank you. I'm glad you let us know you're kidding.
Hey, no, Jacksonville, we
you can say you're serious.
Yeah, no.
Hey, we appreciate all the hard work you guys did and the memories you made here in Jacksonville. We really appreciate it. And sometimes when I get down on the team, I go back to YouTube and watch you guys play again. But my question was this. You talked about some of the quarterbacks for coming out from college. I'm liking the guy from LSU and Mettenberger, but I don't have an eye like you guys do. Is this guy like a legitimate first round or a second round? Where do you guys see him? Do you like him?
You know, Mettenberger is a guy who started in Georgia, had some issues, went to LSU, and was not very good the first couple years there. And Cam Cameron came in as the offensive coordinator this year in LSU, and he's done an outstanding job. And Zach Mettenberger looks like a completely different guy. He's big. He's probably 6'4", big arm, athletic. And if you watch that Georgia game, he made a lot of big throws, and he has a huge arm. So he's a guy that's rising. Where he is in the, you know, in the
it's too early.
It's too early to tell, but he has definitely shown that he has some pro potential.
You know, everyone has Teddy Bridgewater going as the first quarterback off the board.
Way too early.
I mean, remember a year ago, people had Geno Smith as the first overall pick. I mean,
yeah, but guys, you're talking about an 0-4 football, 0-5 football team.
No.
We're talking about there's a lot of quarterbacks out there.
No,
that
I know.
Vying for
it'll that. Settle itself
but you know
out
what?
In the spring.
I bet you they're not having this conversation in Denver.
No.
No.
You know, I mean, no. What happens when you're 0-5? Yeah. You know, you've got a team that's building and a team that needs to find a quarterback that can play at a high level.
Mettenberger is a guy who's going to be very interesting, and a lot of people are going to do a lot of homework on him.
He has all the skills.
Yeah, no doubt. Played really well in that game against Georgia. Appreciate the phone call. 355-NFL-1. One more, and then we'll run through a couple of the big games this weekend. Bill is on the west side. Hello, Bill. Welcome to the program.
Hey, guys.
What's happening?
I don't know. I guess y'all doing a radio show, aren't you?
Yeah, yeah.
Something about
yeah.
that.
I got you.
This is your brother, Scott.
Yeah, anyway, I'm a original season ticket holder and a long-term fan of especially you guys that are sitting on that show right now. And I'm not really used to watching football at this level, and I guess we're kind of in uncharted territory, so in order not to really ask a question that would, you know, make you guys upset, what I'm really looking for is some...
Well, it's only Tony that you have to worry about.
I know. And I guess Tony can address this. That'd be probably this is probably going to be right up his alley. All I really want to know is, at the end of the game, does everyone get a juice box or just the starters?
Wow, that is a cheap shot. There's no juice boxes. Maybe some orange slices, but no
They're
juice
not a sponsor.
Boxes.
There's Gatorade.
No, Gatorade. There's Gatorade handed out. What are you trying to say? They don't care?
I'm just saying.
What are you saying? I mean, put all the little cute sayings aside. What are you trying to say?
To get the players to play. I mean,
oh, give me a break. Give me a break. They're playing hard.
They're playing as hard as they can.
That's the one thing this team does. You go ask any opposing coach, and it's been said they're playing hard. They're not as talented as the teams they're playing against. It's not that hard. I mean, listen. I mean, can you not see? I mean, anyone who questions these guys' effort. It's just flat wrong. It's ignorant. That's an ignorant statement. You don't know what you're talking about.
All right, and on that, we end the callers portion of this program.
This has been
our best
show.
Thanks so much to so many for so little.
Am I wrong, Jeff?
I'm not going to disagree with you on that one. Now the way you treated Bill, the other Bill, I got a problem. I think Bill was right.
Oh, so you think there's a jinx?
No, not about the jinx part, about what he followed up with.
All right.
A lot of people agree with you there.
We got less than 3 minutes left, so just
Who was won last week? You did the...
I didn't bring
you
it in.
You haven't done the tallies?
It's sitting on my desk at home. I'll bring it in.
I mean, that's unacceptable.
It's there.
I know I won.
I was terrible. I just say that right now.
Do you see what I'm dealing with? Never wrong.
Yeah,
never
that's
wrong.
Me. That's me.
That's you.
Okay. Yeah, I've only been wrong like once.
I was sitting there looking at the scores of the game, thinking what we were saying on Wednesday night. So I think I got everyone wrong.
Yeah, okay, that's the way it goes. Okay, thoughts real quick on the Giants in Chicago tonight. Does Tom get his first win?
No.
No, he doesn't.
Not against that. No.
I don't think so. I watched. They're not very good.
How did they go so
Eli
bad?
Eli Manning is not very good.
Eli Manning, Victor Cruz, Akeem Nicks.
And even when there's plays to be made, you watch that Dallas game. And Jeff, I don't know if you went that far back and watched it. I mean, guys are dropping balls, turnovers. It's just a bad football team.
All right. Green Bay at Baltimore.
Green Bay.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't think Baltimore's playing very well either. Okay. I missed that one this year.
Two more games, and then we're about done. New Orleans at New England.
Ooh.
New Orleans. Great game. New Orleans. Their offense is so much better
than
New England.
Their defense is playing well.
They're opportunistic. It's kind of like the Super Bowl run, you know? I mean, not dominant,
right,
but make big plays.
And then Washington and Dallas.
You know,
I'm going to say Dallas.
You're going Romo?
I'm going to go with
Romo. I can't believe you're going Romo.
I know I can't either, but I think he's going to rebound.
Where's the game at again?
Washington.
At Dallas.
At Dallas.
I'm going to go Washington only because I don't think that Dallas defense is very good at all.
Guys, that's a wrap. Energetic show. Thanks so much.
I'm going to take RG3 in that one.
RG3.
Just so I can lose again.
See you guys on the plane ride. Mark, best of luck this weekend.
Thank you, sir.
Have a great one, everybody.